All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning, September 14, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's amazing wherever you were at. Got up this morning. Definitely feel a change in the air. A little cooler. Wore my sweatpants. I went to a meeting last night. I wore pants. Somebody's like, oh, you're wearing pants? I was like, I got it. You know, might as well get on board. Right? You can only fight it for so long. I do enjoy the fall. I do enjoy wearing pants. And I don't mean, you know, no pants. I mean, instead of shorts, right? I do like to transition back into the pants and shoes. It's been shorts and flip-flops for a few months now. So, you know, I'm ready. I think that, you know, obviously it's going to get cold. I don't particularly care for the cold, but honestly, I don't work outside anymore, so I don't know what my real issue is. I don't know. Just never happy, right? Work on it, really. But I'm saying, I love the fall. I love all of it. I always tell people I hate March, April, and May. Those are the months that really, I think, are the worst, and they're not even that bad, so... Anyway, I'm not here to complain about the weather. I am grateful. It's beautiful out. Went for a nice walk this morning. Just felt good. Kids were, you know, my son's like, oh, my throat hurts. I'm like, oh, God, it's starting already. The old sore throats and coughs and sniffles. I'm like, bro, you got to at least go. I mean, go to school. I have to take responsibility for this. You know, my middle son really struggled in school last year. Because I struggled to be a parent, it seemed, right? Like, I just had trouble. I sort of stuck my head in the sand last year. I got to be better this year. It's tough being a parent with kids in school because you want to help them, but helping isn't always the answer, right? They've got to figure it out, right? And trying to figure out how to have them figure it out with still helping but not helping, and it's a mess, and it leaves me feeling a little powerless because, you know, I'm not in school anymore, obviously. And I'm not, you know, 12, right? The life of a 12-year-old and the life of a 55-year-old are so much different. And I don't mean, obviously, the obvious things, but I mean just mentally, right? It's just, you know, as an adult, I'm like, bro, take advantage of this. Get as much education as you can. Be as smart as you can. You'll appreciate it later on in life. And he's like... I think my throat is scratchy. I want to stay home. And I'm like, dude, you know, so got to sort of set back and hope for the best. But he did go this morning. I'm sure we'll get the phone call later. He's like, I don't, if I go, the nurse is going to be upset because I'm always at the nurse's office. And I'm like, yeah, I see. And, you know, it's the worst part is I was the same way. Always down at the nurse's office. Always had a headache. Always didn't feel good. So I don't know. Praying for you, bro. Work it out. Got to make it through. But today, what's today? Today is Thursday. Back to work today. I thought I would just come in. I went to a great meeting last night. I think I shared that I took a new commitment at the Wednesday night meeting. And my new commitment is I am the literature guy, right? I manage a rack of literature. Right, it's probably got 16 slots for a brochure, a pamphlet, a double fold thing, right? That you put in there. It's got a meeting list and all the different things. But I took on the commitment, right? And I'm so excited. And I got there last night. I left early. Got to the meeting early. I walk in. Everybody's like, "Where's the literature rack? Where's the literature rack?" I'm like, "Jesus." I go, it's in the closet, right? I just got here. I'm early, right? I got to get this literature rack. It's apparently a very big deal. And I go in the closet, the fucking literature rack fell off the shelf. All the literature's on the ground. My buddy Tommy came in and stepped in. And actually, thank you, Tommy, but he was very concerned about the literature. He went ahead and grabbed it off the floor, and we got it all together. Thank goodness. And actually, who knew that this literature rack was going to be such a pain in the ass? Yeah.
young, can't sing, I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. Don't ask me what I think of you, might not give the answer that you want me to. Whoa.
Great. Great song. Hey, that is Fleetwood Mac. I don't know when they released it. I think their first album was Rumors, and they re-released Rumors Live, and that is from 1977. The Fabulous Forum in Los Angeles, Inglewood. So go check that out. That's a great album. I listened to it this morning while walking. It was very good. Yeah, so I didn't realize that the literature rack has become a thing. So it's all right. I didn't realize this. I'm on it. Apparently, a lot of people, you know, and the funny thing is there's nobody takes any literature, right? It is a thing of the past, right? I mean, I guess maybe older people might pick up literature, but I don't know. For the most part, it doesn't seem to be, you know, picked apart too badly. People aren't filling their pockets with literature, but we do have it and it's there. And it's a responsibility, and I appreciate it. I like the responsibility, but my God, it was so stressful. I'm like, they're like, where's the literature rack? Where's the literature rack? I'm like, dude, God, I just got here. Give me a second. But great meeting. Super grateful to be sober and get to go to that meeting. Guys shared last night. Did an awesome job. Don't exactly know what he shared on. I mean, really just the journey to get here. But it ended up being a lot about God and spirituality and, you know, always to me a fantastic topic because quite honestly, it is very wide, broad topic, right? It's hard, you know, because I have my thoughts and then you have your thoughts, right? And they have their thoughts and this person has their thoughts. And it's so, and the worst part about it, it can completely knock a person off the apple cart, right? This is, and it was great to listen to his story because he shared that, you know, and he goes, you know, a lot of people like to come into their program and they, you know, they get sober and they start feeling better. You know, the dents get popped out a little bit and then immediately we start helping others, right? It's called two-stepping. And, you know, you come in, you get sober and then all immediately we're overwhelmed with humility and we just want to save the world and we start to help other people. And the problem is that a lot of times people, one, we don't know how to help people, right? Because we're just learned how to start helping ourselves, ideally. And that's really just removing the alcohol, right? Who knows how much real work we've done, but it feels so good. Oh my God. If anybody out there that has been struggling with alcohol and has finally put it down, the feeling of being free from it is fantastic. Right, we all have heard the term pink cloud. It does feel amazing. It's glorious, man, because we have waited so long, right? We have been struggling for so long. We've almost given up hope that we could actually somehow do this. And to finally see it happen, we are just amazed, right? And so the problem is that it's hard to just get sober and help people because sometimes people don't want to get helped. And when, you know, they tell you that, sometimes we don't like being told that. It hurts our feelings. And then we can revert back to being where we had started off from, which is back in the bottle. That's why we have all these steps. But he talked about, you know, he's like, you know, I'll do this, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do the God part. And it is a huge sticking point. And, you know, I talk about it all the time. I am one of the first things, you know, when I first came into the program, I went along with the God part. I'm all in. You got it, right? But I don't think I really I'm not sure my intentions were honest or thorough because I was basing my new relationship that I was now going to start having with a higher power in this program on the old relationship that I had with a higher power prior to being in a program, which really wasn't a relationship, right? I'm just going to share this about for me, right? Everybody is on their own God journey, do your own thing. But this is for me, what I've started to understand. And, you know, the fact is that when I came to the program, it was pointed out to me that I'm a very self-centered person. And I didn't necessarily realize that. I think I was aware of it like any person, but I didn't realize the depths of my self-centeredness, and I didn't realize that it was part of the issue, right? And I didn't realize that that position of self for me sort of pushes me out of the circle of God, right? And because I, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I mean, now I lay me down to sleep. Here I lay this soul to keep, whatever. If I die before I wake, may you take my soul again. I forget the prayer, but basically, you know, that was my beginning of a relationship with the higher power. And it was about asking, you know, what can you do? If I die, take care of me. You know, it was always this very selfish base. And I did not know that, though, right? I would hear things. And a selfish person like me hears things about being selfish, right? Like, ask God and he will answer. Bing. I'll note that down in my notebook. When you have troubles, pray to God and he will help you, right? I'll write that down. When times are tough, God will carry you, right? Okay. I'm loving this, right? The problem is none of that stuff ever happened because, at least for me, when I'm in that position of self, the relationship with God for me isn't very good. In fact, it doesn't exist at all. In fact, it's a real opportunity to get a resentment, right? And then we start hearing like, oh, if you do this and then do this, you will go to hell. I'm like, oh boy, that's harsh, right? That's extreme. Well, of course, that's going to cut half the group out, right? Oh, well, shit, if that's my outcome, I'm not even going to pay any attention, right? You hear this a lot. A lot of people that come into the program, especially like people like myself that are so low and have gone so far down and have completely, you know, almost turned our backs to a God, right? Our outcome cannot be good, so why would we care anymore? Why would we even care anymore? You know, I shared last night, and I've shared this before, and it is my opinion, it is my feeling. For some reason, this idea for me keeps me, allows me to sort of stay centered in the beam, right? And like I said last night, I believe, and this honestly, people, this is my latest version of my relationship with God, right? This is, after all of the adding this and adding that and removing this and, you know, distilling it down, and this, what comes out is this. And this is my relationship today with God. And I believe, for me, that my relationship with God is everything is God. Everything is good. God is not concierge, right? God is not there, at least for me. This is for me, right? It helps me. Live your own God life. I love it. Just have it in your life. Think about it. Work on it. But for me, God is not here to answer my requests, right? He's not concierge. He's not going to tell me, you know, dear Lord, where's the closest Starbucks? That is not the God for me. Right, the God for me is everything opposite of my life before, right? And my life before lived in self-will. The book talks about this. I personally think I'm right. But it's up to, this is for me, not for you, right? It's your own journey. But I tell you, for me, this is what it is. Everything is God. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience, right? My gal Libby, spiritual being having a human experience that involved alcohol. I'm a spiritual being. That means I'm in touch with God. That is, my life is God. It's all God. And the thing that separates me from that existence is fear. Right? Fear started this. Fear got me here. Fear will take me out of this. Right? It's fear. And when fear shows up, I let go of the hand of God. I stop having that relationship. I stop living a humble life. You know, that's when arrogance shows up. Arrogance, my buddy Matt, you guys like you and me are arrogant. What's that mean? We live on a different set of rules. When I let go of the hand of God and I become inconvenienced and I start living a life of self, on self-will, I crumble. I freaking crumble down. It's over. But the program has taught me that. The program has taught me this is a self-centered disease. with a lack of humility, lack of God. You know, we admit. Now, this is another thing I believe. Believe it, don't believe it. It's, I don't know. It may be true, maybe not. But for me, it starts to allow me to at least see what the real problem is. And the real problem is that it is not alcohol. The real problem is me being a self-centered person without God in his life. You can't have both. If you were like, what are you? I'm a very humble person with God in my life, right? I have good thinking and I have good actions. I've always said the ultimate example of someone that lives this relationship with God is a person that's probably on the mountain, a monk that all he does is chant and talk to God and work on things that allow him to continue to live on the mountain and do that stuff and chant with God. You know, that his whole day in life is focused on humility and surrendering and giving up all the worldly things in life that we have, and we've given them all away, and we just want a fucking robe, a wooden bed, a workbench, a candle, a cross, and a bunch of other guys doing the same thing. And that's what we do all day. We just talk to God. But I don't know. Not quite there. But, right? But a self-centered person without God couldn't do that. They'd be annoying. They'd get thrown off the cliff, right? The monks would toss you. But for me, you know, that seemed to be the problem. And so these steps have allowed me to learn about it. And like I said last night, the steps allow me to remove the things that create the fear. But, you know, I'm new at it, right? I mean, I got some time, but I'm new at this. I am not honed in on my skills. And so it comes in and out, right? I can be like perfectly content, feeling super humble, in touch with my higher power, free of all fear, and then the next minute, bang, fear shows up, and that is all out the window. That's why I have to practice, you know, meditation. I have to shut it all down and go search for God again, right? I'm cluttered. My mind's cluttered with self-centered thoughts. It's crazy. You know, we went paddling yesterday. Surprise, right? And it was, you know, this is, you know, yesterday was a lot like my relationship with God and my recovery and the journey. You know, we get down to the ocean, and it's beautiful, right? Dave's like, we're going to keep an eye on the weather, you know, because the weather's been really kind of crazy. We've had storms and some waves and some tide, and people have drowned. It's been really sketchy. So he's like, we're going to keep an eye on the weather. We may go, we might not go. I was like, okay. So we get down there. It is beautiful, calm, right? Beautiful day. Temperature's great. The water's calm. We get everybody together, get the boat in the water, and we start paddling. And I'm no expert at paddling, right? But I've been doing it for a while, and I can sort of tell when this is going to be a rough one. And it wasn't too many strokes into that paddling where I started to realize this is going to be a long one. And the worst part about it is that, you know, it's not like Dave's like, hey, this is where we're going. This is how far we're going. We're going to go over here. We're going over here. We're going over here. Then we're going to get over there. We'll get home, and we'll be done. Like, that'd be awesome. I can't even ask him to do that, right? Because when he gets in the boat, we go over there. And then when we get to a certain point, he just turns, and we go over there. And then when he gets to a certain point, he just goes over here, right? And so there's a lot of unknown. It creates anxiety for me, anxiousness. Where are we going? How far are we going to do this? When are we going to turn around? Is he turning? Why are we going straight? What the fuck's the matter with him? It's crazy. And so yesterday, it was just a few strokes that I realized this is going to be a long day. And it wasn't a long day, but it was a tough day because, you know, and it's a lot like recovery. You know, I'm sober, right? I'm going to meetings. I'm working with others. But man, there's these things that the underlying part of my recovery that are really tough, like this relationship with God, you know? And you know, also me thinking, how come I think why do I have the idea that my relationship with God is right and everybody else could be wrong? Right, but I've been doing this a long time. This is that. Clearly, this is what it is. It's none of my business to tell other people what the relationship with God is. I'm trying to figure out my own, right? And that's how yesterday was out paddling. Now, we're paddling. Water's calm, but there was an underlying current. a tide. And that big storm, that big Hurricane Lee's out there. I don't know how much it's affecting us, but it's like we're in the past, you know, it's like three steps forward, maybe one step back. Yesterday was like one step forward and three steps back. I mean, I would literally look over at the like this rock wall we're going by and we're just not moving, right? We're just not moving very far. And just started getting discouraged. And, you know, we made it. It was fine. We did, we did 9 miles, I think, but we burned like 1,200 calories. We had paddled on Sunday 10 and a half miles and didn't burn that many calories. Yesterday was one of those days that looked easy and turned out to be very, very difficult. Very difficult. And but, you know, there's things that I have to do in my life that make sure that when I have that day, that I'm prepared, right? You know, I eat well. I drink a lot of water. I get a lot of rest. I don't drink and do drugs, right? I'm doing all these things. You know, if I hadn't been doing that, I don't know what it would have been like. I would hate to have been a new person yesterday and shown up because you... Oh, and the other thing, only five of us went out. We had the one seat was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? But it was, you know, we just dug in and worked through it. But the cool thing was, is that on the way back, we were doing like 6 miles an hour and we did this... couple of 2.5 miles in like no time, right? Because we had that current with us and we had the winds with us, and you know, but we had to put in all the work to get that little bit of enjoyment, right? A lot more work, a little bit of enjoyment, right? I come from the life of a lot of entertain, a lot of enjoyment, little work. So that's a, you know, that's a character defect of mine. That was you know, as a person growing up, I didn't want to do a lot of work, but I wanted a lot of return. That's something that I've had to work on. That was another thing I was, you know, I was thinking about as cause talking about the 6 and 7 steps character defects. You know, sarcasm, procrastination. You know, procrastination is something I've been struggling with. It is a character defect, but it's sort of spiritually made, I guess, right? Because if I choose to do certain things, or should I say, if I choose not to do certain things, it somehow starts to fuel and feed into that character defect of procrastination. Not good, right? And I've been doing this a while, right? These things, that's why one day at a time is such a great term, because it, we can get hit with all sorts of character defects, right? Spiritual maladies, whatever it is, it can happen in a day, right? Where a day before you feel like it was smooth sailing, and then, and that's like this, the paddling. Sunday it was great. Right, we did 10 and a half miles, but it was no thing. It was awesome, right? And then I'm like, we're awesome, right? And then we come into yesterday, and it was awesome, but I had some different challenges that I hadn't had on Sunday. A little more of a test. You know, if I'd been like, hey, I'm a paddler, I can take anything. I'm not going to prepare for one or the other. And then you have days like yesterday, you could really get discouraged. And all of a sudden, you just aren't producing any paddle power for the rest of the team. And then that's just never good. So, no. It has, so, like yesterday, like spirituality for me, it's, you know, on the surface, it looks good. But underneath, you know, what is really going on? And there are days that I have tougher days with spirituality and trying to understand a relationship with God. It is, it's tough, but I know that the biggest problem with me having a relationship with God is me. And like I said last night, and I told somebody the other day, you know, when someone said, when will I find my spiritual awakening? And I said, more than likely, when you stop looking for it, right? Because you can't be selfish and have a relationship with humility. You can't be self-searching, self-seeking, self-serving, and find humility. They just don't go together. I'm guessing. This is my version, philosophy, thought, right? Anybody, everybody, you know, whatever. Do you. But I'm just saying that what I'm learning is I can't have the relationship with God. I can't have all these wonderful things that I read about if I'm still living a life of self. And how can being selfish cause all this? I mean, that's, you know, I'm trying to think, why did it take this many years for me to start to understand? You know, I guess like they say, it takes as long to walk out as it did to walk in. And, yeah. I was going to read some. I guess I'm not going to read. Well, maybe I can try reading it. I want to read this. Let's see. Essence of growth. I just found one. Let us never fear needed change. Certainly, we have to discriminate between changes for worse and changes for better. But once a need becomes clearly apparent in an individual, in a group, or in AA as a whole, it has long since been found out that we cannot stand still and look the other way. The essence of all growth is a willingness to change for the better, and then an unremitting willingness to shoulder whatever responsibilities this entails. Yeah, of course. Of course that is. That's exactly right, right? One of the toughest things, the better I get, the more self is ecstatic, right? It's like, look how good you're doing, man. This is awesome, right? And so that's the tough thing is that when we get better, self gets better with us, and self isn't promoting lack of self, right? And that's, I think, where that the two-step comes in. We get better and we feel jazzed up, and all of a sudden we feel like a freaking superhero and we're going to save the world, right? And we jump in and we're helping everybody, but that's self-serving too, right? We want to, I don't know if it's just that I was bad so long or I just need to do something and I feel like this is something I'm good at, right? You see that a lot. A lot of people go into recovery and then start working in, the recovery business, right? They're like, shit, I'm good at this. Doesn't take much to feel pretty special about ourselves, right? All right, let's see. Let's see if I can read a daily reflections. What I have to be careful of today is the better I get, I have to remember that I still have to be that self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. I can be better on the outside, but I have to keep reminding myself, don't trick yourself, Tom. You're still fucked up. And I can tell you, I've been doing this for a hot minute. It hasn't gone away. I got a fucking spotlight on it. It's sitting in the corner. I know exactly where it is. Maybe early on I put one flashlight on self. Okay, I see you. And then self would take off and be, oh, okay, where'd you go? Not anymore. I got five spotlights pointed on it. It's sweating there in the corner. It can't move. If it moves, alarms go off. I know exactly where self is today. I hope to. It's like that guy in Pennsylvania. He broke out of that prison and he was escaped for a week or two, that can be self. I can have a week of self running rampant. It happens all the time. And I probably talked about it in this podcast. I probably documented, when the salon, when the people leave, self's like, shit, okay, forget all that. We're freaking out, right? And it takes me a few days. I can't find it. I've got to find him. And I'm like, listen, we know what's going on. I know how to get out of this. And luckily, hopefully we can, right? All right. Daily reflections. Let's see what this has to say. This could save us all here. Oh, my God. All right. Peace of mind. Ooh, I love that. September 14th. Do we lay the matter before our sponsors or spiritual advisor, earnestly asking God's help and guidance? Meanwhile, resolving to do the right thing when it becomes clear, cost what it may. All right, I have to read that again. I'm sorry. Peace of mind. Do we lay the matter before our sponsor or spiritual advisor, earnestly asking God's help and guidance, meanwhile, resolving to do the right thing when it becomes clear, cost what it may? That's the 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 86, 87. My belief in a higher power is an essential part of my work on step 9. Forgiveness, timing, and right motives are the other ingredients. My willingness to do the step is a growing experience that opens the door for new and honest relationships with the people I have harmed. My responsible action brings me closer to the spiritual principles of the program. Love and service, peace of mind, serenity, a stronger faith are sure to follow. That's right. Yeah, man, I hope you find that on your journey. That is true. That is very true. Listen, I appreciate you for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll talk soon. Later.
Understand, you said stick by me and I'll be your guiding hand. Don't ask me what I think of you. Might not give the answer that you want me to.